This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:01. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and this is your weekly Thursday COVID-19 brief. On the line right now, from the city of Homer, Jenny Carroll, are you there?
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Also, Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Public Health. Nurse Carroll, are you there?
Good morning, team. You're loud and clear, Kathleen.
Good morning. And Chief Kirko.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. Chief Kirko, I was wondering if you could begin to talk about city services reopening in phase two we're in now. And it would appear that phase three is coming up soon.
That's correct. And right now, the city staff are working very hard at trying to get plans in place for the certain some departments to reopen to provide that service out to the community again. So I can tell you right now that the Port and Harbor, they're working very hard to make sure that everything is coming back to a normal pace. Given the season with fishing starting up, they're really ramped up and working hard at doing that. Right now, I believe they have their fish tables are out. They are still practicing and have signage for social distancing to maintain that safe zone for everybody. But I believe everything other than the office space is open to just about all normal use right now. There's a few things that will probably happen under phase three, which Brian is still working on some of those details, and we'll report those as soon as we have them. I know that the campgrounds, Mariners, the fishing hole, and Karen Hornaday are all open. They're kind of filling up quickly, so people are listening and they want to reserve a spot. They better do something about that pretty quick. Because it's beautiful weather and people are getting out there. So those places are all still open, yet trying to stay within the guidelines that the governor's mandates are requesting of us and the public. So a little bit of spacing and then the continuation of sanitizing commonly touched surfaces and restrooms and things like that, and additional hand-washing stations are in place to help with some of those needs of sanitization. The library is continuing with their drive-up, I believe, book exchange and drop system, and hopefully very soon they're going to have the computer access available back to the public on a limited basis to control that flow of social distancing concern throughout the library itself. That should be coming up, and there'll be more information on that soon. Then the last thing, I think, as far as the services, is that the rec center is now starting to, the rec department is starting to open up parts of their normal program. So pickleball and Zumba dance and karate, those kind of things are going to be happening here very shortly. Mike Ild will probably put out some stuff on the website explaining the dates and details for those. I know that there's other things. The City Hall staff, I'm reviewing some of their plans right now that they've submitted to try to get things back to normal at the planning department and the clerk's office and things of that nature. So once those plans have been reviewed and they meet with all of the safety precautions and guidelines, we'll probably see some changes in that too, and that should be some information that we'll hopefully be able to share again maybe next week.
So if Parks and Rec is opening up things again like pickleball, what's the status on playgrounds?
That part hasn't been decided yet. There's still some discussion on that. I know Mike is working very hard at trying to look at all the other communities and the state's plans on how they are going to do things so that we are trying to follow suit with some of that so that we're making sure that we stay within the safety guidelines.
Well, thanks so much. I would like to, if you don't mind my going off topic, I'll bring it back to the topic. Were you at the response to the gas leak on Heath Street yesterday?
I was briefly. The assistant chief, Joe Salee, and the duty crew responded to that to help maintain a good, safe traffic flow, because it was right in the middle of the intersection, and obviously the traffic, the folks not knowing about it quickly, it became a congested area.
Next week on the Thursday morning brief, I'll probably have a few more questions for you, because I'm going to focus the second half hour entirely on the harbor. And so I'm definitely going to have some questions for you leading up to that.
Perfect. I will talk to Brian about all kinds of, if you give me a little heads up on that, I will try to make sure I can get good information for you from Brian, and we'll talk about it on the air.
I will. Thanks.
Okay.
And I want to go to Jenny Carroll. Jenny, I know you have a list of things to talk about. What's on your list this morning?
Discussion of life at the city under COVID. I want to say that while he said that City Hall was looking at how to get back to normal, everyone should know that you can still do all your normal business with City Hall, that you would do paying bills, seeking permits, contacting your city manager, that all those things are available through telephone, online, a Dropbox for bills. So that has all been going on all along. And the one thing I wanted to highlight that happens at City Hall is staying connected with Homer City Council, commissions, and boards. Because of the close down and trying to keep the social distancing, there are now new ways that we've developed for people to connect with their council. And I just wanted to make sure people were aware that not only can you listen to the council meeting on KBBI, but now you can also watch and listen via Zoom. So you can actually see your council members in action, and you can go to those meetings by going to the City of Homer website. It's cityofhomer-ak.gov. And on the main page, there is a button that says, Stay Connected with City Council. Commissions will be coming on again. Some of the commissions have been meeting as business has dictated, but we're going to be going into rolling out a schedule for commissions to begin meeting again, and boards. Those will also be available via Zoom. If you go to the main page of the website again, on the right-hand side, there's a calendar of the upcoming meetings. So that's how people can tell what's going on and access agenda items and business that's before council and commissions. So that's watching and listening. The other piece is, how do you actually talk to your council members or give some testimony or your opinion about a business topic that's coming up? There's three different ways to do that. One is by submitting written testimony. You can email the city clerk, or you can submit your comment online on a web form. And again, you would go to the city clerk's page on the city website for that. The other thing is that we have developed telephonic testimony during meetings. So you can sign up to phone into the meeting and speak. There is also a web form online for that. You need to do that no later than 4:30 p.m. the day of the council meeting. The other third option for giving your public comment is in person. And city chambers, the Coles Chamber, opens 5 minutes before each public meeting. We limit the capacity to 10 people at a time to accommodate social distancing, and we require people to wear a face covering or a face mask that covers both nose and mouth, because it's the best practice to keep the transmission of the virus down. So people can come in and give testimony 5 minutes before each public meeting. So I just wanted to make people aware that's a little bit of a different practice than we've had in the past. It's expanded because of COVID-19. So there are still, the city has worked very hard to develop the technologies and the ways that people can still connect and have a voice in their community.
And I have an email that was sent. I think you got this question as well. So I'm going to ask it to you and then ask if Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital or Nurse Lauren Carroll or the chief would like to weigh in. Mary Griswold asks, non-essential businesses in Alaska are being allowed to open with mandates for owners and patrons to wear masks or face coverings. Are these mandates enforced? If so, by whom? and at what penalty for noncompliance?
I'm really happy to answer that. I know you'd like to hear a diversity of voices, but I definitely can say
no,
that.
No, if you're the one, if you're the one who can speak to this, go for it.
I sure can. So under the governor's Reopen Alaska Responsibly plan, there are many different attachments that apply to different businesses. And the attachments provide health guidance that's based on best practices for businesses to help participate in lessening the transmission of COVID and keeping that curve flat. So two attachments in particular relate to retail businesses and restaurants, attachment E and F, and those attachments strongly encourage cloth face coverings to be worn by all employees interacting with the public and by all patrons. Notice the language here, strongly encouraged. It's a strong recommendation, but the governor has been very clear that it's up to businesses to decide how best to protect their employees and customers, just as it's the customer's personal responsibility to follow these recommendations for keeping everyone healthy. There is no enforcement for face coverings, just education on why it's important and reliance on personal responsibility that everyone pitches in to share in the obligation to keep Alaska safe and to continue to combat the spread of COVID-19. Doing these practices, the early practices that the governor mandates that the government put out was, you know, the hunker down. And that got our curve really flat and gave the governor confidence and the health team that works with him the confidence to begin opening up. As long as people continue to practice these things, these prevention practices that allow us to go forward to open up our businesses, which is really important for the health of our economy and for people to get back to work and be able to put groceries on the table. It's really important. So, Mary, thanks for the question. It's a strong health recommendation under the mandates, but there is no enforcement associated with it from the state level.
And Mary has a follow-up, which is patrons and workers at essential businesses in Alaska, particularly grocery stores, which are visited by more people than many non-essential businesses, are not required by state mandate to wear face coverings. Can somebody confirm that? And if so, why are they not required to wear face coverings?
I did look into that to try to find the guidance. And again, I think all face covering guidance is a strong recommendation. I know that essential businesses, especially if they're traveling, they need to, if they're sending essential workers around the state, that those essential businesses need to develop a protective plan that they provide to the state that says how they plan to travel around the state, especially if workers are coming from the lower 48 or places where there is a higher transmission, what practices they will be doing to protect against the spread of COVID-19. And those practices include having your employees wear face masks when they're interacting either with one another or with the public. And the cleaning practices, the hygiene practices, those kinds of things. So again, these practices are strongly encouraged. I would say the best encouragement is that we're healthier when we do it, and it's allowed us to be able to open up our businesses and provide the services that people expect from and need from essential services, and to help get us all back to work and not see the spikes that could lead to closing businesses back down again and hunkering in.
And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital or Nurse Lauren Carroll, do either one of you have anything to add to that?
Good morning, Kathleen. It's Dorotha. I would like to echo the concept of evidence-based best practice. At the hospital, you know, outside of COVID-19, just as a healthcare provider in general, evidence-based best practice is what guides and informs decisions daily in a hospital and healthcare environment. It is evidence-based best practice that wearing a face cover helps decrease the spread of droplets from a mouth or nose, which is one of the main ways that this particular virus spreads. Just using that as kind of the underlying decision, whether there's a mandate or not, or whether it's a recommendation or not, people can vote with their feet. And if there's a establishment that you don't feel comfortable in, then don't go there, I think is the most important thing. We're all pretty informed now on this virus. We can use our own decision-making process as we decide where we're going to go during the day and what environment we're going to remain in. And so just kind of create those personal mandates of what you're going to follow during the day, given all of the information and evidence-based best practices that you're aware of.
Nurse Lauren, do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, maybe just two things. And I've been thinking about how, what are the things that I and we can focus on, or what are the things that I have control of? And I feel that what's embedded in all these comments is that each of our actions really impacts the rest of the community. We should feel good about that. Quite frankly, Alaska has demonstrated that we don't need 100% participation in community mitigation measures, and that's not really possible. Making the choice to participate is really impactful in a positive way, and that can be empowering. And then secondly and lastly, I think that up to this point we've seen a lot of changes and we've learned a lot, but I think that we're going to continue to see a lot of changes. And so I just want to highlight a couple of places that folks can go with their questions and get answers. One of them is call 211, and that would be just for general questions and assistance. And then secondly, if you have access to an email account, you can email general questions, especially related to mandates and alerts, to covidquestions@alaska.gov. That's covidquestions@alaska.gov.
Thanks so much, Nurse Lauren and DeRotha. We're going to return to you a little later. I still have a couple of questions here that are mailed in for the city. And I know that, Jenny Carroll, you'd like to speak about the J-Bear flyover that's happening
tomorrow.
Oh, right,
before
tomorrow.
The weekend. Yeah, J-Bear has alerted us that they will be doing a salute to Alaska in honor of all the frontline responders. They will be doing a route with F-22s, leaving Anchorage, going through Eagle River, down through Whittier, Seward, and then on to Homer, and then back up the other side of the Kenai Peninsula. They are expecting the flyover in Homer to be, just a little after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I want just people to know that that's happening so you can get out and enjoy it.
And Nurse Lauren, can you remind us all of the best practices if you're going to be around other people while you go out and enjoy the flyover?
Yeah, sure thing. Social distancing is defined as keeping 6 feet or more away from others, especially for 10 minutes. So this would be for folks outside of your household. So if you're outside enjoying the weather or watching the show, it's okay to hold hands and hang out with folks closely for those that are in your household. But for those outside of your household, keep at least 6 feet distance at all times. And then if you're doing something like dancing or running, best to widen that distance to more like 20 feet.
Back to Jenny Carroll from the city, because I've got some mail-in questions. Here's one. The PPEs from Skiff Chicks that were available, also that were available at Homer Saw and Cycle and at Psychological, they're no longer on the COVID-19 webpage for the city of Homer. Is distribution of masks still happening?
Well, the production has slowed down to the point where we all made the decision we wouldn't have enough to distribute through those two outlets anymore. There were so many made in this community. I just have to tip my hat to everybody who was home producing those masks, because obviously they have been put to good use. People have appreciated them and still want them. There are still some being made, and people can get in touch with Skiff Chicks. On our website, there's contact information to put a request in and see. That's how you would access them now. I also know that since this first began, there are many more avenues and outlets to get cloth face coverings. I know that Nomar is making them. I know that they're available for purchase at a variety of our retail stores in Homer, as well as online. So I encourage people to look around to see where they can obtain these through normal markets.
So the last one I have for the city is on the page, on the city webpage. I just want to point out, this one's from me, Public Works is making chlorine bleach. It's a bring your own container kind of situation if you need something for disinfectants and you're unable to get it. So,
correct.
And is that at Public Works down at the bottom of Heath Street?
It is. It's down there at the bottom of Heath Street near the animal shelter. Make an appointment by calling Public Works Department. We ask that you bring your own container. We limit everybody to 2 gallons who are coming to get the bleach. That should be plenty for businesses or people who need it to be disinfecting surfaces at a regular interval. You would obviously be diluting that down for your cleaning purposes. So we wanted to make sure that resource is available to businesses as they reopen. If you need some, feel free to call the Public Works Department.
Also, Frontier CBD is making hand sanitizer, it says on the city's webpage. I can't stress enough, if you have unanswered questions and things you want to know about, City of Homer webpage, click on the COVID-19 button. There's a lot of good information. So Frontier CBD is making hand sanitizer here in Homer. Are they making it available for sale, Jenny, or is it for distribution for people who need it?
They're making it, as far as I know, it's primarily for sale.
I have one more question, but this one's going to go to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital and Nurse Lauren Carroll. The question is about antibody tests. Is there any reason to do them? I know I've heard you say you've performed some at South Peninsula Hospital. Is there any evidence to show that if antibodies are present, that it keeps you from getting COVID-19 again?
Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, the easy answer there is there's very limited information at this point, and that's given that COVID-19, the new coronavirus, is still incredibly new to the world of science. And so this makes it very different than diseases such as mumps and measles, pertussis, or even things like tuberculosis, where we've known these, in some cases, for 1,000 years or several hundred years. So the short answer is, at this point, we don't know, but the global science community is working on it.
Okay, and Dorothy,
I will
go ahead.
I was just going to add, Kathleen, that yes, we do offer the testing, and some of that was out of public interest, many people asking for that service. We have an arrangement with the Mayo Clinic. They were the first ones to get, and possibly the only ones to get the FDA approval to do it. It's a blood test, and we take it and send it into the Mayo Clinic. So it's several days turnaround. There haven't been very many people that have done it yet. I think there's teens in the teens of the numbers of tests that we've sent in. As the pandemic unfolds and there's more people who confirmed positive who then do the antibody test later, that's where the kind of the data points will start coming together and maybe being more meaningful. But at this moment, what Lauren says is definitely the thought at the hospital as well.
Chief Kirko and Jenny Carroll, I want to give you guys one last opportunity to make any comments you like, or you're welcome to stay on the line, but Nurse Lauren and Dorotha have agreed to stay on a little later this morning to answer a few more questions. Jenny Carroll from the city, is there anything else on your list today?
Just wanted to let everyone in Homer know that the City of Homer EOC is available. You can get in touch with me via email or phone. We have a call line number as well. That number is 435-3197. So if anyone feels like they have more questions or want to know more about access to resources or anything in the community that we are here, that's our purpose, is to help educate and connect people with the information and resources that they need to keep everyone safe and moving along.
Okay, thanks, Jenny Carroll. How about you, Chief?
Yeah, I have a couple additional things. I just wanted to really sing out a great kudos to our businesses in Homer that are doing their very, very best to stay open and do it in a safe manner, taking this thing to heart and making sure that they can deliver goods safely to our people of Homer, to the community. And then a quick reminder also that just because we had a little rain the other day does not mean we're not still in a fire danger kind of condition for wildland. Just because it rains, please understand that burn permits are still not being distributed right now. and that it's still a very cautious time to be doing any kind of outdoor burning. So that said, I'm going to go ahead and sign off too because I got another meeting to attend to. As Jenny said, if there's any questions, don't hesitate to contact us at the EOC or me directly at the fire department.